Welcome to our meeting this afternoon. If you would join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Thank you. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Wheeler, will you call roll for us?
Okay. Nicolette Araujo. Charlene Ashendorf.
Present.
Paul Brewer. Linda Cardoza.
Present.
Gary Chang.
Present.
Andrea Collins. Ann Hertz Mallory. Margaret Wang. Elizabeth Jimenez. Gary Keane.
Present.
Patty Moton. Ann Baudry. Jenny Nichols. Rachel Owens.
Sure.
Tara Siegel. Barbara Sloat.
Thank you.
Alina St. Matthews. Nathan Steele. Dave Wheeler here.
All right. We do not have a quorum at this point.
Well, sure.
But we can have presentation and discussions.
All right, then we'll move on to our presentation. Welcome. Does everyone know Linda? No. I have an introduction anyway. I'd like to say it because it reminds me of who you are, and it's quite impressive. Linda Cardoza is here as Director of HICAP Health Insurance Medical Counseling and Advocacy Program for the County of Orange. And I'm sorry.
We do some bad church for our public speak.
Yeah, it is public.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm spoiled. We do not have requests to speak at this time.
Thank you very much. Let's see. Linda began her tenure with HICAP in 2011 as a volunteer counselor and has served as program director since 2017. Previously, she spent a career in the private sector and served as in volunteer roles as CASA, court-appointed special advocate and leader with AARP, the tax aid program. Linda holds a BA in social sciences from Cal State University, San Bernardino, and an MBA in finance from Cal State University, Los Angeles. So welcome, and we're all excited here to have you explain to us and provide a Medicare update.
Great. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Thanks very much for having me speak. I know it's a tough time of the year. Some folks find Medicare very interesting, and others find it not so interesting. But it's an important time of the year, so I'm going to go through some of that. So if you just advance the slide, please. So as she mentioned, I lead HICAP here in Orange County. And for those of you that may not be familiar with us, this is part of a nationwide network called CHIP, S-H-I-P, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. So if you look at any materials that you get from Medicare or you look from any of the plans, you're going to see your local CHIP. Here in California, CHIP is called HICAP. Each of the states is a little bit different. If you go to Florida, they're called SHINE. So we are HICAP. And our counselors provide unbiased, and our services obviously are free. We're state and federally funded. We do individual sessions, counseling sessions. It can be over the telephone. It could be at any of the senior centers. Either counselor assigned to all the sites. And then during this time of the year, we actually come out to the senior centers as groups, and then we do the counseling there. We also conduct education seminars across the county. So we serve about just under 5,000 individuals every year. And in terms of our education seminars and outreach, that's probably just under 300. So it's a pretty active HICAP here in the state. We also have 5 threshold languages. English, right. Spanish, Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese, and Farsi. But we have counselors that are bilingual with other languages such as Hindi, Gujarati, Russian, and we'll provide services in any of those languages. And you can just see in the blue square what we actually do. Anything related to Medicare, whether somebody's new to Medicare, they need help, it could be a Medicare beneficiary, it could be a family member, it could be a caregiver, up to and including any Medicare's been on Medicare for many years, and they run into billing issues. So anything related to Medicare, we can certainly help. What isn't included on the slide is we also have certain trained ICAP counselors that will assist individuals with their long-term care insurance policies. So that's a niche, but it is one that we also serve. So the one thing to keep in mind is we're not agents, we're not brokers, we don't sell anything, and we are also not allowed to endorse or recommend any insurance product. So that helps us be neutral. So if you've ever seen the Medicare new book, next slide, please. Looks like this. This is the 2024 version. And if it's the California, whether it's Northern or Southern California, when you flip it on the back cover, you're going to see SHIP, and it'll say HICAP, and that's our contact number in the state. So it's an easy way. If you happen to lose any of our brochures, you can just pick up. If you go to the Medicare website and you download the version, that's the national version. It's not specific to California, so you won't see that information. So next slide, please. These are the topics we're going to talk about, a little bit about what's going on, what's happening as we move from 2023. And a little bit about programs that will help individuals save money. Your fraud and abuse, it's all year round, but we see a little bit more of it during this period of time. Resources for help, and then Q&A. Hopefully, as I go through this, I answer most of your questions. I know if you have really detailed ones, I may ask that we do it after the session. One thing we always want to do is value your privacy. And sometimes when you ask questions, it's very unique to your health situation. So I do definitely want to do that outside. Well, we are already in the midst of open enrollment. It began this past Sunday. It's going to go until that just a buzzer or somebody
like a
texting? Oh, so they're trying to get that.
Construction.
Construction. And that's for me. I don't know.
That door was open when I tried to handle right outside. So you're going to hear this period of time. You can hear it as AEP, annual election period, annual enrollment period. You can also hear it as OEP. It all means the same thing. It's the fall Medicare enrollment period. Next slide, please. And so we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Before I go too much into the details, we were talking about you a little bit earlier. So before I go too much into the details, I want to go back to the basics and just do a quick refresher on Medicare and how people receive their Medicare coverage. So if there's anybody here that's a Medicare beneficiary, you're already familiar with it. If not, and you're a caregiver, it would be helpful to know. So anybody that has Medicare, regardless of age, can receive their coverage one of two ways. There's no crossing between the two paths. It's one or the other. So in the first column where it's kind of pinkish colored boxes, that's original Medicare. So a person can decide they want to receive original Medicare. Sometimes it's called traditional Medicare, fee-for-service Medicare. Parts A and Part B. Part A is inpatient, so it's going to be hospitalization. It could be time in a skilled nursing facility. Hospice is all Part A. Part B is everything else, except for prescription drugs. So Part B would be all of the outpatient services, time in the physician's office, be a specialist office, it could be durable medical equipment, home health, all of that's gonna be Part B. Preventive services is Part B. Anything that's not associated with being an inpatient is going to be Part B. And then those are from the government, right, from Medicare. And then if people elect to go with a prescription drug plan, which it is optional, but if they don't have one, they're going to be paying out of pocket for all prescription drug costs. So that's a private insurance company where an individual can purchase a prescription drug plan. And I'll get to the blue arrow in a minute. And then for anybody under original Medicare, it helps to have secondary coverage, whether it's a supplement plan, a Medicare supplement plan, often called Medigap, or it could be a retiree plan, it could be Medi-Cal, anything that will help pay the cost that Medicare doesn't cover. So that's the first column. The second way a person can receive their Medicare coverage is with a Medicare Advantage plan, often called Part C. So here in Orange County, those are gonna be predominantly HMOs and PPOs, mostly HMOs. So what's different is with the Medicare Advantage plan, those are bundled plans. It's going to have the Part A coverage, the Part B coverage, and prescription drugs in one plan. So when the beneficiary goes to get healthcare services, they don't have to carry their Medicare card. They just carry the plan card, and it will have their services, their healthcare services, as well as prescription drugs. So there's separate ways people cannot cross. You can't be have a Medicare Advantage plan and have, let's say, a supplement plan. You can have Medi-Cal. That's a little bit different. So what's important about this period of time, open enrollment, is why we have the blue arrows. That's where we spend most of our time over the next several weeks, working with individuals that need to change, either want or need to change their prescription drug plan, if they have original Medicare, or their Medicare Advantage plan. So any questions on just basics of Medicare? All right, so next slide, please. So when we think about open enrollment and why it's important to everybody, for most Medicare beneficiaries, it's the only time during the year that they can make a change. There are some exceptions, but people have to qualify for those exceptions. But this is the time when the majority of beneficiaries. So every year, our health changes, the plans change, the cost of the plans, the benefits change. If it's prescription drugs, formularies change, your prescription drugs may change, and healthcare provider networks can change. Healthcare providers can be in a network 1 year and then decide not to stay in that, stay contracted with that particular plan, and they can end up being out of network the following year. So it's really important that people take a look at their annual notice of change, the ANOP, which was sent out to all Medicare beneficiaries last month in September. That's the first indication that there's going to be a change to a plan or to the coverage. What we find with most beneficiaries is they don't read it. They actually end up tossing it. And they find, they say, oh, I don't have to do anything. And come January, when they see the first notice on their premiums, or they end up going to pick up their prescription drugs and it's costing them more. And then they want to make a change and they can't.
Linda, can you have an insurance and private insurance plan alongside Medicare as well?
It depends on the type of plan. So if somebody's fully employed. If you're employed and they're covered by an employer group health plan, then it makes no sense to have Medicare because that employer group health plan is going to be primary. And Medicare is not a very good secondary. If an individual is enrolled in Medicare and Medicare is primary, which is going to be every other case, a commercial plan would be like a supplement plan or a retiree plan, COBRA. But Medicare is going to be primary, so you want to be careful what that secondary is to make sure it's truly going to be secondary to.
Yeah, because I'm just kind of thinking if people are few and far between these days, but there are some people out there that will have a retiree medical plan paid for by their company through retiree. How would that work with Medicare?
So that person would still have to enroll for Medicare.
Okay.
Appropriate times. And some people will start retirement from a major employer at 55.
Right.
But once they get to 65, they do need to enroll in Medicare. And usually those retiree plans will send a notice to the individual. You need to have parts A and B. Your retiree plan will cover your prescription drugs and the rest of the cost you need. Now, retiree plan is not considered credible coverage. And as long as it's not considered credible coverage, COBRA, retiree plan, veterans benefit, all of those are secondary.
So Medicare would be the
Medicare's
primary.
The only time when Medicare is, I'm sorry, yeah, Medicare's primary, the only time where Medicare would be secondary, and it's of course secondary, is if an employee, if the person's employed.
Okay.
Yeah, the employer group health plan will always be primary,
right,
as long as it's a large employer. Next slide, please. So some of the changes you can make, if you think back to the slide that had the two columns, original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. So if somebody is in the second column, they have a Medicare Advantage plan, they can change to another Medicare Advantage plan. If somebody is in that first column under original Medicare, traditional Medicare, and they have a prescription drug plan, they can make a change to that prescription drug plan. And with the PDPs in particular, we always ask people, take a look at it every year. And it's okay if you want to change every year. The whole purpose is to make sure that you have a plan that covers all your drugs on the plan's formulary at the lowest overall cost. And then if somebody happens to be in that first column with original Medicare, they can make a change to the second column to a Medicare Advantage plan. And the reverse can happen, but it's a little bit more tricky going from a Medicare Advantage plan to original Medicare because that's secondary coverage. If it is someone that's seeking a supplement plan and there is no moratorium on guaranteed issue, which means medical underwriting, they will have to undergo medical underwriting. And that is an easy way to not be included in that particular plan. You would not be able to enroll in that particular plan with medical underwriting. So if somebody's very, very ill, for instance, one of the cancers, then there's a good chance they're not going to get it. Only if there's a moratorium on medical underwriting would somebody have an opportunity to get into a Medigap supplement plan without that medical underwriting. And then the deadline is December 7th. Don't wait until December 6th. We always want to have a little bit of time for the paperwork to get through, and it'll all be effective January 1. Next slide, please. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what's going to happen as we get into 2024. Next slide. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 and what that means. These are changes in laws, rules, regulations. Of course, the premiums and all the cost changes year to year. We're going to spend a little bit of time on prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plan. That's where we have the blue arrow on that one slide. And that's because of the changes in the plans themselves, including cost. Next slide. So if we look at the major changes as a result of the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, which essentially provided financial relief to Medicare beneficiaries, just to make accessibility and affordability better for these individuals. And you'll see that there were a lot of changes that were made, rule changes, as it relates to prescription drugs. So what's effective this year, this was all in 2022, last year, and these are all in effect now, where there are limits on the copays of insulin products that are on the formulary. It could be, the ceiling is $35. So it could be less than that, but the ceiling is actually $35. That's already in effect, as well as the cost sharing for adult vaccines. It's certain types of vaccines. The one that was really helpful to most Medicare beneficiaries was the shingles, because that was so expensive to get that shingle vaccination. Could you hit the return one more time, please? And so what's going to be effective as we go into 2024, and this will all be effective Jan 1, is the coinsurance, the 5% coinsurance for individuals that make it to the catastrophic phase. So most individuals, if you have really expensive drugs, in particular brand name drugs, you're going to go into what's known as the coverage gap sometime during the year, which you'll hear some folks call it the donut hole. Coming out of that is the catastrophic phase. And this year, prior years, individuals are paying 5% of that drug cost. Starting next year, there will be no 5%. So if a person comes out of the coverage gap, they will not have any cost sharing on their prescription drugs. I'll talk about the coverage gap in a minute. That won't happen next year, any changes there. The other thing that's going to happen, and this is really going to help a lot of folks that have lower income, is the expansion of the low-income subsidy, which is LIS, sometimes called extra help. And instead of having full extra help and two levels of partial, everybody will be full extra help, which is certainly going to make a difference in the cost situation, the financial situation of different individuals. And that will be an automatic change. So anybody that's partial this year, it will automatically change to full starting January. And then there will be limits on the plan premium increases as going from 24 into 25. When you see the numbers from 23 to 24, you're going to see that going from this year to next year, these prescription drug plan premiums increase significantly. Most were more than 50%. One was actually 313%. Very significant changes. Only a few plans decrease their premiums. The majority had increases. So that's good news. I'm going from 24 to 25. Next slide, please.
So, is it that they're going to go back down to the less expensive, or it's just at the top work their cost sharing?
The premiums?
The premium.
So whatever the premiums are and whatever the increased costs are for that plan where they normally would have been able to increase the premiums to however much they needed to increase it, however much they wanted, it'll be capped.
But they technically be higher than market. And going back to the 5%, they're removing the 5% cost sharing. Does that mean it's going to go higher? Or
no, it's just gone. It's
gone.
There is no cost sharing at all. So if we're looking at 2025, a little bit early is just a little bit, you see a lot of this in the news and various articles. You kind of hear a little bit about it in some of the prescription drug plan ads that we see, where I mentioned if folks go into the coverage gap and they go into the coverage gap because they have very high cost prescriptions, such as brand drugs, such as cancer drugs, it's going to be a cap on the out-of-pocket of $2,000. Which is going to be significant for individuals that have chronic conditions. So that will be effective in 2025. The other thing that's going to help individuals in 2025 is the ability to smooth out any payments. So the way it works is if a plan has a deductible, and if a prescription drug is part of that deductible, a person's going to pay something like $500 very early in the year. Smoothing allows for that individual, if they decide to take advantage of a payment plan, they can spread that over several months as opposed to having to pay that all up front. So that's certainly going to help individuals that have very costly prescription. Next slide. And then as we get further out, you're hearing quite a bit now. There's a lot of controversy on the negotiation program on high-priced drugs, in particular the brands. You see this all the time. You see a lot of advertising on TV, you hear about Eliquis and Jardiance, Xarelto. These are the 10 drugs that have been selected for the negotiation program. And the results of those negotiations will start to show in 2026. So once again, for individuals that have these high-priced drugs, and they are very expensive, they'll start to get benefit in 2026. So that's just kind of just a snapshot of the results or what is coming up for the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act benefits as it relates to prescription drugs. So next slide. So the other thing that we see year after year is the premiums deductibles for the basic Medicare. So Part A and Part B are the ones that most people are interested in. With Part A, about 99% of the Medicare beneficiaries do not pay a premium for Part A. And that's because either they or a spouse has worked 10 years and they have what's known as 40 credits, 40 quarters, right? So that gives them, and they were contributing into Medicare, FICA on your payroll deductions, then that is premium free. That is huge because you can see what happens if an individual does not have premium free. It is very expensive to buy into Part A. And then the Part B premium, the $174.70, which is what was communicated last week from Medicare as the premium for next year. You can see what it is this year at $164.90. If you went back a year, it was $170.10. And if you go back even into 2021, it was about 148. So it's gone from 148 to 170. And the reason why it increased to 170 was because that one Alzheimer's drug, the cost associated with that. Well, that didn't materialize. So for this year, the premium was reduced to 160, rounded to 165. But it's also going to increase again because of the higher cost of drugs. And there's another Alzheimer's drug that is going to fall into it. So everybody pays Part B. It doesn't matter if you have original Medicare or you have a Medicare Advantage. Everybody must pay that Part B.
I have a question back on that. You mentioned about spouses. If back in the 1950s, you know, spouse, you know, likely to have doesn't work. So they were covered. Is it still that way? If your spouse has 40, then you're the spouse.
For Medicare. Social Security has changed a little bit, the benefits and how that works.
Yeah.
But for Medicare, if one of the two have not, they've never earned any credits because they never worked, then yes, they can take advantage of the spouse's credits. So if we go back a few years before the Medicare cards changed, Medicare card always had the Social Security number and a letter after, right? So there was a specific letter that designated spouse, and that's how we would know that the individual was qualifying or eligible for Medicare due to the spouse's credit. Next slide, please. So let's just focus for a few minutes on prescription drug plans. Next slide. So this is one that's always pretty interesting. If you leave with any message after this one specific slide is when you're looking at prescription drug plans, and this is individuals that are original Medicare that have a standalone prescription drug plan, is to make sure you look at total cost. Don't make a decision just based on the premium. Don't make a decision just based on a deductible, whether or not the plan has a deductible. Just because there's a low premium doesn't mean it's a bad plan. And just because it's a high premium doesn't mean it's a great plan. Look at the total cost. So a low premium plan could easily have your drugs in a tier that has higher cost sharing. And if a plan has a deductible and the individual has predominantly generics, there's a good chance that they don't even have to worry about the deductible because it doesn't apply. They're just going to pay the low cost sharing for that particular drug and they don't need to worry about the deductible. The other thing is taking into consideration pharmacies and whether or not they're in network. I was working with a client case yesterday, and if the beneficiary changes plans and pharmacies, she's going to save $1,000 during the year, which is a lot of money. And that is actually on the lower end of the scale. We have clients that can save thousands of dollars, and they come every year and we change their plans because the formularies are changing and where the drug is in the tier structure is changing in addition to the deductible and the premiums. So that is the advantage every year of walking into the new year with your eyes wide open. And if you need to make a change, make a change. Next slide, please. So if we look at the landscape here in Orange County, this year we have 26 prescription drug plans. And in California, the standalone prescription drug plans are statewide. It's not just unique to OC, but we try to talk to people about OC because when we get to Medicare Advantage plans, those are specific to service areas. So next year, we'll have 23 plans. There's three that are discontinuing. So anybody in those three need to take action. They need to look and see what makes sense for them with the other plans and make a change. Most of the plans, as I mentioned earlier, increase their premiums. And yes, we do have one plan next year, and the monthly premium is 40 cents. And what we're seeing as we're comparing plans for different clients, sometimes that floats to the top as the lowest cost plan, and other times it doesn't. There are other plans. And there is one plan that's at 188.40. That doesn't mean it's a great plan because it has a higher premium. And individuals, beneficiaries are pretty interesting. Well, I want the best I want the best plan, and I know that one's expensive, so it has to be better. Not necessarily. We need to look at all of your drugs, whether it's generic or brand, what's the dosage, how frequently do you take it, where do you buy it from? Take all of that into consideration, come up with a lowest estimated cost, and it may or may not be your plan. It could be an expensive premium plan, but maybe the cost sharing is very, very low.
Question. How many plans have zero premium?
For a prescription drug plan, standalone, none. Where you're going to see zero premium is on Medicare Advantage plans. Most of the HMOs in Orange County have zero premium. So all of the lowest one is 40 cents. The other thing we look at are star ratings. So those were just released this past Friday from Medicare. And unfortunately, we have seven plans in the state that are below three. Our benchmark is always three. Best is five. We want to make sure they're at three, but once they go below three, we make sure that the beneficiary understands if that particular plan came up as a low-cost plan for them, we want to make sure they understand that it is a low-rated plan. And generally, what I've seen for the ones we've done research on so far as we get into 2024, where we're seeing reductions in the star ratings is primarily member experience. And so the question is, what does that really mean? Some of it could relate to the pandemic. You know, as everybody was working from cell phones or, you know, like, yes, and returning phone calls. But right now, where we are, looking at next year, there are 7 plans. So if anybody, and the 3 plans that have the 2.5 are all Cigna plans, which is a little bit surprising. So we're not sure what specifically the plan members did not like about the Cigna plans. And then the 4 plans that are at 1.5, one is the ClearSpring, and then the other 3 are Mutual Vulnerable. So with the 1.5 in particular, but also with the 2.5, we are going to let folks know. CMS, Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, will also send a communication out to those individuals and let them know you are enrolling in a plan that has 1.5 stars. You have the right to a plan that is higher rated in terms of customer service. So it gives the individual, they know that they have a low rated plan. They also know that Medicare is also watching that. Ultimately, it's the beneficiary's choice. And there are individuals out say, no, the cost difference is low enough. It's different enough that I want to stay with that plan, even though it's not rated very high. I'm not going to ever have to call customer service, so I'm not worried about that. All right, so next slide, please. So let's kind of shift over to the second way individuals can receive their Medicare coverage, and that's through the Medicare Advantage plans. So here in Orange County, it's a little bit different if you go to other states, it's a little bit different when you're in other counties, even here in the state of California. Most of ours are HMOs. We have PPOs, and that number is increasing. And we have a few that have, that's a hybrid between an HMO and a PPO. And I'll come back to that in a minute. So as we look at PPOs, this is where people are going to have the most flexibility. So if you think about how people receive their Medicare coverage, whether it's Original Medicare or it's Medicare Advantage, they have maximum flexibility under Original Medicare. You can go to any provider anywhere in the U.S. as long as they accept Medicare. So you do have, you pay a little bit more for it, but you do have that flexibility. In the Medicare Advantage arena, where there's most flexibility is going to be in a PPO. A person can work within the network of providers, but they can also go outside of the network. They will pay more if they go outside of the network, but they do have that flexibility. The majority of the Medicare Advantage plans in Orange County are HMO, and that's a little bit more restrictive. You're going to be working with a network of providers. You need to have a primary care physician, and you need the referral from that PCP in order to see a specialist. That's not necessarily true with the PPO, and certainly not true under Original Medicare. HMO POS, there are very few plans that are identified as this. We started seeing these for the first time last year, and it's a hybrid between an HMO and a PPO, but it's more like an HMO. So if somebody has a plan, they really need to understand how the POS, the point of sale, works for that plan. Sometimes it only applies to dental, and that's really important. It may not apply to anything that would be covered under Part A or B. And then we also have here in the county the plans. These are unique plans that are targeted for certain individuals. So in the case of a chronic, somebody that has a chronic condition, cardiovascular, it could be lung related, it could be kidney related, it could be dementia. Those plans work a little bit differently in that they're coordinated, and the person really needs to have the condition in order to become a member of that particular plan. The ISNP, the Institutional Special Needs Plan, those are for individuals that are receiving institutional level care. They might be in a nursing home, they could be in another care facility, but it's institutional level care. And then the dual eligible. This is an individual that has Medicare and full scope Medi-Cal. Full scope, not Medi-Cal with a share of cost, because that's not full scope Medi-Cal. So if an individual is a dual eligible, they are eligible for one of the 5 D-SNPs that we have here in the county. One you're probably more familiar with than any of the others, and that's the one offered by Cal Alpine Health, which is OneCare. Next year, we're going to have a second D-SNP that is considered a unique many plan, and that's through Kaiser. But there are 5 D-SNPs, 2 are unique, both of Cal Optima Health and Kaiser. in how they coordinate the care. Yes.
Is there a qualifying event for institutional? Can you, if someone were to move into a nursing home or some type of skilled living, would that be changed?
We'd have to look at each of the plans to see specifically how they're defining it. Say yes. And they do have special benefits in that they can change multiple times during the year. So if somebody's in that type of care and they come out, they're eligible for a special a different kind of a plan. But we have very few of those here in Orange County, but they do. So just a little bit about the landscape of Medicare Advantage plans here in Orange County. And we are we're an interesting county in that. And when we talk to some of the high caps that are in North County, they don't understand how a county can have over 100 plans. How do you help narrow it down? When some of the other counties, think about rural counties, they're not going to be able to work with Medicare Advantage plans. And if they do have any, they might have one or two. So it's a little bit easier. You can do this one or you can do this one. Whereas when you have as many plans as we have, it's good in the sense that it allows choice with the beneficiaries, but it's not so good in the sense that it allows choice. It's just choice can be good and bad. So with the 112, that's actually divided into two segments. One is 78, which is the non-special needs plans. And then we have 34 special needs plans. So a combination of both of those is the 112. So if we look at just the 78, the non-special needs plans, five plans from this year are leaving as we go into next year, but we have 15 new plans, which is significant. And a lot of those plans are SCAM plans and Humana plans, and they're unique plans in terms of what they're called in the title and the members. Seven of the Medicare Advantage plans do not have prescription drug coverage. So earlier I mentioned that they're bundled plans, that they have your Part A, your Part B, and your prescription drugs. There are some that do not have a prescription drug. And you're kind of thinking, well, why would somebody not want to look at that and not have prescription drug coverage? Somebody that has VA benefits and they use their VA benefits for the prescription drugs.
I'm sorry, are you speaking about scans?
I was just talking about the new plans. As we go from 23 into 24, SCAN added quite a few new plans, as did Humana. They're unique names, but I think SCAN is number one in terms of the total number of Medicare Advantage plans. They have 13 next year, which is quite a bit more than they have this year. And then Humana has a lot more next year than they don't have this year. And then most of the HMOs in Orange County are zero premium, which is great. And we have 13 PPOs this year. We have 8. Prior to this year, we only had 5. Prior to that, we only had 2. So it's gone from 2 to 5 to 8. And now we're going to 13. 5 of those plans have a premium, PPOs. PPOs generally have premiums, but not here in Orange County. The majority, 8 of the 13, do not have. That means you need to look at everything else in that plan to see where the other costs are, because folks think that these are free. And they'll say, oh, I get all these free benefits. Well, nothing's really free. It's somewhere. If it's not in a premium, it's probably in cost sharing. If it's in cost sharing, it cannot be in a premium. And then the maximum out-of-pocket cost on the part of the individual, that's called a MOOP. That ranges depending on the plan. It can be very low, just under 200, and it could be at the high end, which is just under 9,000. The out-of-network is going to be higher for those PPOs that have that particular benefit. Unfortunately, as we go into next year, we have no 5-star plans. We don't have any 5-star Medicare Advantage plans. This year, we have Kaiser, and they lost that rating. And so next year, we will have no 5-star. Plans. And then we also see a lot of changes in plan names as we go from this year to next year. And I think that's what's going to be the biggest challenge for individuals is, especially with Anthem Blue Cross, they have the word MediBlue in most of their plan names this year. When you go into next year, it doesn't say MediBlue. It just actually says Caroline, or it's going to be a little bit more of a challenge. People are going to say, well, what does that mean? They're not going to realize that there's a change in the plan. They'll get a new card. And it's the same plan, just a different name. The same thing with United Healthcare, which licenses the use of AARP. for those plans, it makes perfect sense this year. It's like a Secure Horizons focus or a Secure Horizons this number, that number. Next year, it's very generic. It is a Medicare Advantage plan from United UHC, and then it has a code number after it. And I think that it is exactly the same name. The only thing that's different is the code number. So I think that is also going to be concerning to individuals because they're not going to get it. It's easier for them to say, well, I have a Secure Horizons plan or this medical plan. That's not going to be the case next year. Next slide, please. So earlier we talked about considerations, what to take into consideration if you're looking at a standalone Part D plan. Those still apply when you're looking at Medicare Advantage plans because the majority do have prescription drug coverage. But what's different with Medicare Advantage plans is the healthcare side of it. Really need to understand that, in particular, providers, because not all providers in Orange County accept HMOs. Not all providers accept all the HMOs if they do accept HMOs. So part of the homework we have for anybody that's looking for a Medicare Advantage plan is to make sure you understand if you have providers you do not want to change. You have a specialist, and you don't want to change that specialist. Make sure you know which plans they accept. Let us know, and we'll help you narrow the search down to what makes sense for you, but you can still see the same providers. Many times individuals will sign up for a plan and then find out their provider doesn't contract with them. And then there's extra benefits. Next slide, please. So in the past, when we go back years, it was really all about Part A coverage, inpatient coverage, and it was about the outpatient Part B and prescription drugs separately. Then the plans, Medicare Advantage plans, started offering all these extra benefits. It started out with dental, hearing, and vision. Then they started adding on gym memberships or fitness programs, either in full, paying in full, or giving up an offset. Non-emergency transportation, if somebody needs transportation to a doctor's office. Then all of a sudden, we started seeing plans adding this over-the-counter stipend, where individuals can purchase items that are over-the-counter, and they get a quarterly stipend. We've seen that personal protection devices or the emergency response systems, like the necklaces with a little button, if they fall, they can push that. But the most impactful feature that we've seen, a benefit that we've seen in the last couple of years, is this Part B premium reimbursement. For somebody that does not have Medi-Cal, and you look at a premium of $170 every month, and everybody pays Part B, it's very expensive. So several of the plans, there's probably about 20 of the plans. So it's a small number when you look at over 100 plans that offer this benefit. It could be as low as $25. It could be as high as $164.90, which is significant. $164.90 is the same as the Part B plan this year. It's not the same as the one next year, but that's still a significant number when it's almost under $2,000 savings for some folks. Where they could use it for something else. So it's a very interesting benefit, but it's also one that we're very cautious of because remember, it's like any other type of benefit. If it's being given here, it makes you wonder what's going on with the rest of the plan. So when we get individuals that say, well, I want a plan that has Part B and reimbursement, well, let's talk about your medical coverage first. Let's look at your prescription drugs. If you're okay with all of that, then we'll look at the plan and see if they have that reimbursement. If it works out, that's great, it will work out. But making a decision just for that one benefit may not be the best. Well, usually it's the best decision. And then there are certain plans that have special supplemental benefits for the chronically ill, it's SSDCI. And these are unique. They're not uniform across plans. But a plan may offer an individual that's been hospitalized, is discharged, just to make sure that they don't have reoccurrence of hospitalization or end up in the emergency room again, is they may have home-delivered meals for a period of time. So there are a lot of these types of benefits. Home modifications is another one we hear a lot about, but it is unique to the individual, and they have to be, they have to go through a medical assessment, and if they then they would be entitled to those benefits. Yes.
The plan that I have they've started this unusual thing. I think it's unusual. They give you benefits, like every quarter you get the X dollars worth of anything you want to choose out of this catalog.
Yes, that's the over-the-counter.
Yeah, they've got the, you know, vitamins of all kinds and band-aids and all that kind of stuff, all kinds of stuff. Like,
yeah,
they will start getting into food. I want to ask the question, there's no free money. So is that, they just need money from the federal government to break the pipe? What's the story behind that, you know?
Each of the Medicare Advantage plans, they receive a capitated rate from the government. It's X number of dollars per plan every month. So if you have a very healthy plan member and they never use the benefits, well, that's all probably up to that plan, right? But if somebody is chronically ill, it's going to cost more. But if somebody's chronically ill, that capitated rate gets incrementally increased because now it takes more effort to work with that particular individual. So if you had that capitated rate every month, you can look at it at the end of the year and you have a lot of plan members, and let's say they're all healthy. Guess what? If nothing's going out and it's still coming in, there's a benefit there, and that money can go towards some of these other benefits.
Do they do that because then they get more members, or because I think they want to keep them?
Better ratings. Yes. They get better ratings.
They put it on the member of. So I'm going to just kind of switch over and give you an example of the Medigap. So I mentioned earlier, somebody has original Medicare, they can purchase a Medicare supplement plan, also called a Medigap. So that's by letters, like plan A, B, C, or D. So prior to 2020, most individuals that wanted maximum coverage by those supplement plans chose a plan F. Well, that changed. There's now, the government decided everybody had to, they call it skin picking. And so now, instead of Plan F, newly eligible to Medicare individuals cannot enroll in Plan F, it's a Plan G. Well, Plan G is all the newer people, right? So they're going to be those that aged into Medicare at 65. They're going to be maybe not as, they may not have the chronic conditions of somebody older. So if you look at Plan F, it is going to be all these folks that have been enrolled in Plan F many, many, many years, and you have people coming out of Plan F going to Plan G because the premium is less, and you have the new people that are eligible for Medicare going into Plan G. So now you have this disconnect here. You've got a plan where you have lots of cost outlays. They continually increase the premium to take care of that. But what you also have here is it's an older group. So over time, they're going to pass, and then the numbers will come down, the costs are going to get higher, people are going to come out. So it's an interesting dynamic when you watch all of that. It's much more than we would normally go through in a presentation, but if you're ever interested, it's a different topic. All right, so let's just real quickly on other times. This really is outside of open enrollment. If a person has Medicare Advantage plan on January 1, they do have another opportunity to make a change, but they must be in an MA plan. So that's Medicare Advantage open enrollment period. So if somebody forgot to change during open enrollment, the fall open enrollment, and they have that Medicare Advantage plan on January 1, they can make a change in the first 3 months of the new year. And then the special enrollment period, the unique circumstance, there are many special enrollment periods, but the ones that are most common that we deal with here in Orange County are individuals that have a major change in their status. So let's say they move into the area or they move out of the area. They are currently working and they're going to retire. All of those would trigger an SEP where they can make a different selection. And then individuals that are covered by extra health or full scope Medi-Cal have an opportunity to make a change outside of open enrollment one time in each of the other 3 quarters. Next slide, please. So other things, next slide, to consider. We've talked a little bit about secondary insurance. I made the comment earlier that if someone is covered on a Medicare Advantage plan and they want to change to original Medicare, the one thing they have to really look at is that secondary coverage, because they may or may not be able to buy a supplement plan. They would have to go through underwriting. If they're comfortable with that and they go through underwriting, then they can very, especially if they're more healthy, they're going to have a better chance getting a supplement. But if it's somebody that has a chronic condition, it's going to be a lot more of a challenge. to be able to get that supplement. So before making that change, do your homework or let the individual know that they need to do that research and assess whether or not that's the most beneficial change for them to make. Next slide. And then if they have other secondary coverage, these all have to be related to employers. And we always tell people, check with your HR department, whoever's administering that plan. Don't make a change. Don't enroll in a Medicare plan without understanding the implications of that change. And where we'll see it a lot is individuals that are in CalPERS, as an example. CalPERS is very good about on the front page when they send out the notices to all of their plan members. It's in the middle of the page, big letters in bold. If you enroll in a Medicare plan, you will not only lose your prescription drug coverage, you will lose your health care benefits. So, because it's a retiree plan that has all of them together. Next slide, please. And next slide. So there are programs that can assist folks. Obviously, when people take advantage of open enrollment, it may not take care of everything. They may still have some costs. So there are other programs that are available. So there are some that are available to anybody where we're looking at patients' assistance programs. Sometimes through pharmaceutical companies, we can get discounts. There are foundations that support some chronic conditions. And all of these may be options for an individual that is paying more. Even though they may be in the plan with the lowest overall cost for their listing of prescription drugs, there are other options that might work for them. Expert Health is what I had mentioned earlier. That's for individuals. It is income and asset. This is a federal program administered by Social Security Administration. So the changes that are happening here, a Medi-Cal asset being eliminated for next year, does not apply to Expert Health. Next slide, please. There are a series of programs under the heading Medicare Savings Program that might work for individuals. Individuals that have Medi-Cal pretty much have this. They are automatically deemed eligible for this. This would help an individual, let's say they don't have enough credits for Premium 3 Part A for whatever reason, and they meet the income and asset requirement. This year we still have an asset requirement. They might get what we call conditional Part A. So the program would pay the premium for Part A, Medicare Part A coverage. Starting next year, it's only going to be an income requirement since the assets for Medi-Cal are going to be eliminated. The asset testing for Medi-Cal is being eliminated. Those asset testing is the same for the Medicare savings programs.
Linda, what's the difference between Medicare and Medi-Cal?
So Medicare is the federal insurance that's available to anybody. It's age-based, unless the person's under 65. It is the definition of disability. Okay. That's Medicare, so that's federal. Medi-Cal is Medicaid through the rest of the country, but here in California, it's Medi-Cal. That is it's a combination federal state, but it's administered by the state. And here in the county, it's Orange County Social Services, does the eligibility. The actual administration of the Medi-Cal program is CalOptima Health. So that is any age. It's not age restricted. It's income and asset restricted. Next year, the asset restriction won't be there. It'll be just income. The other thing about Medi-Cal is I think the cutoff is either 50 or 55. I think it's 50. Individuals 50 and above that, regardless of immigration status, can qualify for Medi-Cal. That's not the case for Medicare. There is a requirement. So that really expanded the Medi-Cal program. So Medi-Cal is individuals that don't have income and can lack immigration status. That is the safety net for those individuals. So individuals can be 65 or older. And they can have Medicare, and they can have Medi-Cal. They're eligible for Medicare, and they can have Medi-Cal to their income asset level. So we do have folks that are Medi-Cal under 65. They age into Medicare. They receive a note saying you're now Medicare eligible. We'll apply for Medicare. And then social services will send them to us. We'll sit down with the individual, and we want to make sure that they're actually eligible for Medicare. If they don't meet the immigration requirement or the residency requirement, then they're going to have to either stay on Medicare health. And in some cases, people can stay on covered California.
Gotcha.
It's like this. So unfortunately, this is just a way of life, fraud, and abuse. Where there's a will, someone will find a way. And this is the time of the year that we're going to see quite a bit of it. One of the things we always tell folks is, you know, don't let anybody pressure you into making a change. You don't have to make a change unless you want to make that change. Also, family members, neighbors, just peers, the peer pressure is strong. We'll get individuals coming in that'll say, my daughter says I have to make a change to this plan, so I have to change this plan. Well, can we talk about why and what? And then it really depends on how that discussion goes. We are mandated reporters, and if we feel like there is potentially a situation of elder abuse, then we do have a requirement to report. We always discuss it with the individual first, but there is a lot of pressure. And individuals say, my neighbor said this is the best plan. I need to make the change. They don't understand why I'm still in this plan. Okay, let's just talk about your situation before you make that change. If anybody offers a gift, any plan, any agent, any broker offers a gift to enroll in a plan, then no, don't want to do that. And then the next couple of bullets, the broker and agent misconduct, as well as the third-party marketing organizations. The third-party marketing organizations, the TPMOs, is what you see on TV, on some of the off-channels, where you see Jimmy Walker or Joe Namath or some of these celebrities talking about these plans, where you see the ad where it says, if you don't have a Part C plan, you are missing out on your benefits. There has been a crackdown on that by CMS, Center for Medicare Medicaid Services, where there are a lot more restrictions on that. We've seen that. I've seen that in some of the ads. If you go to outreach events and you see an agent, broker, or plan, one of the things they cannot do is they can't have the Medicare card. Medicare card can't be on their materials. There's limits. Some of the planned changes, I mentioned plan name changes. One of them happened to be called this year. I think it's called, I won't say the name of the company, Premium Best. The word best cannot be used. And that makes sense because you don't want to sway an individual to a plan because you're using I'm the best kind of thing. So there's limitations from a marketing perspective that we're starting to see have some benefit this year also. And then always treat your Medicare card like a credit card. That number means something. And if you end up being a victim of fraud, say something. Don't. It's not embarrassing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the stigma. We just want to help you out of it. Because if somebody uses somebody else's Medicare number and they sign up for hospice, guess what? The person that owns that Medicare number, if they actually need to go on to hospice, or let's say they need to go get a prescription drug, or they need a piece of durable medical equipment, they're not going to get it because the Medicare rep is going to show, oh, you're on hospice, you can't get it, or you've already gotten it because somebody purchased something under your Medicare
number. That would be new.
It usually happens, so somebody that is fraudulently put onto hospice will find out if they try to go see their primary care physician, let's say for a flu shot, I can't, and the physician will say, oh, you're on hospice, I'm just tripping them up. Or they go to the pharmacy and try to get a refill on a prescription, you're on hospice, we can't refill it. If we hear more of that than we do other, and then it takes this long process, there's got to be an investigation. We've got to go in. It takes about a month and a half, maybe 2 months to get that hospice indicator taken off. There are ways of getting emergency supplies of medications to individuals that need them, but just takes time to get that off.
So is it that the number's still on the dark web to someone who needs hospice care and can't afford it?
It could be that, or it could be an individual, especially individuals, older adults that are isolated. Somebody comes to the door. And said, oh, I know you're on Medicare and we can get you housekeeping services. All you have to do is sign up for it. The individual that's signing it doesn't really know what they're signing. All they know is they're getting a benefit. So those are definitely fraud, obviously. And we can help the people get out of that. But once they get paid this hospice, so all of a sudden they're starting to get housekeeping services and they're happy about it, but the record shows hospice until they try to get a prescription or position.
So you also mentioned that, let's say a family member tries to get another family member to do something different. What's the benefit?
inheritance.
Saving
money so that the money's not spent on that older adults' needs. When you, I don't know, you've probably heard presentations on fraud abuse, whether it's elder abuse, whether it's care arena. There are just this a ridiculous number of stories that are just heartbreaking what happens. And some of it is individuals that are isolated. And just these scammers are so good. They just hook the person in, and next thing you know, the person is a victim. These guys are very skilled at what they do. It doesn't even have to be somebody that's isolated. It could just be anybody. They're just skilled at how they can hook somebody in and talk somebody into a benefit. This one is an interesting one because we can't prove it yet. It's individuals that are on Medicare Advantage plan. They have a benefit that allows gym membership. Somebody at that particular gym came up to them and said, oh, I can get you into this other fitness center. It's more of an elite, but you have to be enrolled in this plan. And the individual made a change. Guess what? The doctor is not contracted with that plan. And the individual tried to get out of it. They willingly signed. They knew, but they were signing. They wanted that elite membership, and it was paid by the plan, but they lost access to their physician. So during open enrollment, we're going to get them back into the plan that they want to be in. They give up that gym membership, but they're getting it. Just happens. Next slide, please. So different resources.
There's one I'd like to bring up and tell me what the, I noticed that the, my wife had a condition and then she they want to give her back raise. Okay, you know, help out. The rules were if the back rate, if they use medical equipment cost $100, you pay 20% of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
If it was under $100, it was free. Oh, you get this bill, you know, for the copay, it was over $100. Well, okay, you know, we have gotten it before. I looked into it. What happened was they charged the church, the Advantage Care program that we had, $215 for this particular piece of equipment. And so the copay is $42. Well, I was waiting for them to check out, you know, tell me exactly what the situation was. I looked up on the internet, the exact piece of equipment that they gave us on the internet, you know, from the company that made manufacture was $35. So I guess not the money that big of a deal, but I got kind of upset with them. Why are you charging multiple times more? What they even cost? So somebody's making that, you know, that money in there. And I figured they're going to lots and lots of people. So I was pretty upset with them.
Yeah, Medicare fraud abuse, durable medical equipment, hospice, and recently over the last couple of years, COVID-19 tests. Kits, those are being shipped out and mailed to people, and they never ordered it. So we've seen that.
That's what the case couldn't order. I mean, it was all done from doctor.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, they were just ripping people up. And I said that's not right. Even got the people on the phone, the company that does it. You think that's fair?
Well, you looked at your bills. I mean, you looked at your claims, which is good. So I think earlier someone asked, how do you know? And I said, well, you know, you should put in. The other way to prevent it, and this is actually the best way to try and get in front of it, is whenever the individual, if you're on a Medicare Advantage plan, you get a monthly statement, an explanation of benefits, look, make sure you got all of what's there. Take a look at what the costs are. And if you're on original Medicare, you get one every 3 months. It's called a Medicare summary notice. Look and see the claims. So I know about a month ago, some of the calls we were getting, I just looked at my MSN and it said, I got charged for all of these COVID-19 tests. I never ordered them and I never got the tests. So those, we just said that we don't do the investigation. We send it to another group, the Senior Medicare Patrol, SMP, which will take a look at those. And then they turn it over, depending on the dollar value, they'll turn it over to law enforcement.
But the point of this was they won't change it. They said, no, we're allowed to do that. So they wouldn't change anything. And what they did, they ended up blaming it on, they said, Medicare, federal Medicare, set limits, you know, they were allowed to charge up for that limit, so they did.
But by the same token, they contracted Medicare or whatever restrictions are. So we have to worry about that.
What's that?
Yeah. Talk to me afterwards, because
okay.
You know, you can always
I don't plan it too.
And
I know they're doing one other thing.
So next slide, please. So different resources, obviously, HICAP here in Orange County, it can be HICAP in any county, and I'll show you our contact information. And then Medicare, you can call 100-Medicare. If you go to the website, just make sure it's .gov. It's not .com, it's not .org, it must be .gov. And that's the case with any government website, Social Security website, same thing. And then, of course, all the plan documents. You can do that. I will tell you that some plans, their websites are a little bit more user-friendly than others. We actually download all over 100 evidence of coverage documents, which are like 300 pages a piece, because we have to be able to see the details of the plans. You wouldn't want to do that, but if you really wanted to understand, look at the evidence coverage. It's there for a reason. You might have to go through several clicks on a plan website, but it is there. Next slide, please. And then that's just our contact information. Our main office is in Irvine, not too far from John Wayne Airport, but we have Kelso's Dawn Senior Centers. So you can certainly make appointments there. You can call our main office. We do operate a call center and helpline. Next slide. So I know we've been answering questions all along. I just looked at the clock and I didn't realize we'd gone this long.
Great presentation, Linda. Thank you so much.
You said you're at the senior centers, so that if someone walked into us, a member walked into the center and they said they need help with their insurance, someone there can direct them to HITECH.
The best thing to do is call and make an appointment.
Got it.
It's rare, especially this time of the year, to take walk-ins because it is so crazy.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. I learned my alphabet a little better today.
This would have been so beneficial to Scott General.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Another example.
Thank you very much. And so at this point, only we don't have any new business items.
We don't. We decided we've been updating on the bylaws.
Yes, indeed. I'll start, and if I miss something, you just let me know. For those of you who were not at our general meeting last week, we had another lively discussion on our bylaws, and we're happy to report that the bylaws, we approved a draft version that will be forwarded to the county. And several highlights of the recommendations include agreeing to keep the 40 members of the committee, and we thank you for the input that you provided here at this. And we hope that you'll continue to stay a part of that. We established 5 key areas in the bylaws: ending homelessness for older adults, protection from poverty, hunger, abuse, neglect, and exploitation, combating loneliness and social isolation, inclusion and equity in aging, and lack of transportation. So those are going to be our key areas that we will find now in our bylaws. Our change of name that we have requested is Orange County Older Adults Advisory Commission. And finally, the current 3 standing committees will be sunsetted, and we will have ad hoc committees as needed throughout the year. So anyone who exclusively served on this committee, you will be invited and encouraged to attend our general meetings. Did I miss something?
No, you did not. I think you did a very good job.
And you were there, so you would know if I missed something.
So I would just add to that the standing committees that will be standing down, people who are just on these committees like yourself, Carrie, and not on the main committee, are encouraged to kind of still come to the main committee meetings, because all of the topics that are going to be discussed here, when the chair or vice chair, whoever they're going to be next year, we're going to have to rearrange the whole agenda for the SCAC general meetings going forward to include items that the committee as a whole wants to focus on. So if you are participating just on this committee, I would highly encourage you, if you have the time, to apply for the SCAC general meeting or still attend as a member of the public as well. So.
And to your point, Laval, that was really important. Some of the information that we hear here really will benefit the entire committee.
Commission. Right. So where it stands with the bylaws, actually, just today, they've been submitted to County Council for one last review before it goes to the Board of Supervisors, which we probably will bring them to the board in January. I'm thinking, just given the timeline of the process, we have to go through to get an ASR on the agenda. So, yeah, exciting times. Yeah. So,
can you clarify, are you saying that SCAC has the name changed?
Yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
There's something about SCAC.
I know it sounds like Scallywag or SCAC or something. It just doesn't sound right. So, Older Adults Advisory Commission, but from council to commission.
So yeah. We still have monthly meetings until those are.
Well, yeah, until the bylaws actually went into effect, these meetings still stand. And I think
we have, actually, we have presenters, I guess.
Well, Laval, we do have a presenter, right?
Yes.
I have November 15th meeting, Health and Wellness in the Digital Age. Speaker Vida Russo.
Oh, Vida. Yes. Vida. Yes. You guys organize that. That's great because it's going to be a great conversation. Yes, she will be here. Which I think she will. And now that you've confirmed that, I will call her.
Yes, please.
I'm sure she's going to be there because if it's on her agenda, she'll be there.
And that will be November 15th.
We do have some changes in November for the SCAC general meeting. It was initially set for November 10th, but because of Veterans Day, we had to change it. And that's now on November 16th, which is the Thursday. Yeah.
You had your hand up, Dave.
It's a Laval ring.
Yeah.
He was happy.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank
I'm
you.
Sure you
I forgot.
I apologize.
All right.
So, Pauline, how does the individual become a member of the commission or this
the council of SCAC? Go online to the Office on Aging website, and there is the application is there. Membership on SCAC can be obtained through three different processes. One, you can be appointed by a member of the Board of Supervisors. The second can be through a city selection committee. And then the third, which has the most appointees, is the SCAC Executive Committee. So you would go online, fill out an application form, send that application form in, and then before it goes to the Executive Committee, applicants must attend at least one standing committee and one SCAC general committee meeting before it goes to the executive committee for approval. And then once the executive committee approves it, person's on SCAC.
Are the individuals on that, is it commission committee, or whatever it is, commission, do they tend to be people that are employed in one of the community-based organizations? Are they volunteers that are just the general public?
It's a combination of all of those. Okay. There is a requirement through OAA, Older Americans Act, that any advisory council have a well-represented, well-rounded representation of individuals that could be from like service providers, general public, elected officials, people that work in the older adults industry. So we have to, you know, make sure that we have that. And then another requirement too, which we have to have a certain portion of the committee members are over 60 as well, which we have. It's nice because we have some that are and some that aren't. So it gives that nice blend.
I was specifically thinking about our CEO.
Okay. Yeah, that would be, yeah. So.
Peter will be here.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Thank you. That's great. So before we adjourn, are there any announcements from staff? Before we move on,
so the health educator pleased to announce that we're actually doing leaders training for our city staff management, diabetes management. We should have at least seven or eight individuals that are trained, and then delivery of the program by November 17th. We're also for the market, a matter of balance for coach training. It's going to take place in November 29 and 30th, the two-day training, working with that Mission Hospital to hopefully get some people South County to get some big staff of volunteers to do that. With that said, we also have Seal Beach Community Center that's going to host a Better Balance class in early January, as well as practicing self Metro. And Norman T. Murray Senior Center is going to host a Better Balance in April. It's Better Balance. It's helping seniors prevent falls.
Fall prevention.
Oh, balance. Okay.
Yeah. Just
because your whole doesn't mean
it's in the name.
Just because your whole doesn't mean you're supposed to fall.
Said Mission Diego was in April?
Herman Peak?
Yeah.
April, yeah. And you can find all the classes on the CA of UMD.org for that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Another meeting.
All right. Any comments from any members currently? All right. Last words from Pauline. All right. With that, I thank you very much, and we will return at 18 to November 15th. Thank you.
Thank you.